Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever and whenever you may be listening to us across the entire globe. You're listening to Tarot Today Radio here on the Psychic Talk Radio Network. We are a live call-in show, so give us a ring at 714-816-4628. We'd love to chat with you today. When you get through on the phone lines, remember to press number one on your dial pad so we know that you want to be live on air. One more time, that's 714-816-4628. And, of course, you can also join us in the chat room on the Tarot Guild website. That's right. Our Friday and Saturday shows are sponsored by the Tarot Guild, the international organization for tarot lovers, students, and professionals since 2004. We're now in our 16th year. And you can come over and join the website for free, thetarotguild.com. It's a lot more than a website, folks. It is like Facebook for tarot. All the same features that you find on the big social media websites, but it's all tarot all the time and none of the negative stuff. That's right. And it's free to join the website and use all the features, thetarotguild.com. And we are in the chat room there. You'll find the link to the chat room in the navigation bar at the top of any page. And by the way, if you're on your phone, it shows a chat bubble at the top. So if you're on your phone, you just press the chat bubble there. Otherwise, you can also type in thetarotguild.com/chat, and that will bring you in here. You can chat with Mary and I. You can comment on the show, comment on the topic, all the things we're discussing, and, of course, ask for a mini reading live on air, but we would in the chat room, but we would rather talk to you live on air. And you can do that by calling 714-816-4628. And speaking of Mary, let's bring her on here, the fabulous Mary Brown. Hey, Mary.
Hey, Dax. Hey, everybody. Happy Tarot Today show on Saturday.
We used to always say Happy Psychic Saturday, and now we don't know what to say. No, we can still say Happy Psychic Saturday. It's
Happy Psychic Saturday.
For those that don't know, our show on Saturdays was Psychic Saturdays, and we decided at the beginning of the year for the 10th anniversary of our very first tarot show, Tarot Today Radio, to bring the old title back, Tarot Today Radio. So we just thought it was just perfect, so we brought it back, and now we're Tarot Today Radio again, you know, but we've been broadcasting nonstop since 2010, for 10 years now, you know, but
it's amazing.
Yeah, but there's been many incarnations of the show and the networks and things like that. And I feel like we've come full circle.
Me too, because I brought back, there's a rock for that too, and premiered that last week, and that was a lot of fun. So it does feel like we've come full circle.
That's right. That's right. And you know, you're kind of doing the press junket. Well, not the press junket, but the media tour, because you're popping on all these different shows. You were just on Sharona Rapsik's show, right?
Oh, I had a blast on Sharona's show, Magic Universe, last Sunday. That was so much fun. And then this Friday, I get to be with
you're gonna
you
be
and
on
Dr.
Our show.
Rose.
Me
I know.
And Dr. Rose, yeah.
I'm having a great time.
Fun stuff, fun I stuff. Get... Awesome.
Yes, it is.
So, we got an interesting topic for you.
I'm excited about it. Yeah, I was just going to say I'm excited about our topic today. I think that's one that, you know, we've all grappled with, right, as tarot readers. And when we first were starting out, what to do about all those keywords. Are they really helpful, friend or foe?
Oh, my God. Well, think about it. You got 78 cards. If you do reversals, potentially, depending on how you're doing it, there may be 256 cards, and if you have 1, 2, 3, 4 keywords for each one, you know, that's a lot of memorization if you're going to memorize.
Yeah. Yeah. And you see people struggle with that all the time, you know. I mean, I guess, you know, for people that are good with memorization, maybe they don't struggle as much with that. But not everybody is, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I see people all the time like, I can't remember what it means. What's the word?
Right. Yeah. But my thing always was, you know, whether you want to use the keywords or not use the keywords, whose keywords are you going to use? That's the thing.
That's a great point. Right, because,
yeah,
like, it's not like there's – it's official, right?
Right.
It's not,
and I
like
think
there's an official list.
Well, I think it's really important to point that out, because for a large swath of the population, you know, especially if they're only just getting into tarot, they think that there are. They think that it's set in stone and it's been that way for 600 years or something like that, you know?
Mm. Yeah. And that's not really how it is. You know, it's really interesting, because it's like, if you look at, you know, some of the findings that they have on some of these historical decks, and every once in a while, they'll find a little snippet of divinatory meanings for the cards that were written way back when with some of these historical decks, you know, like the Mattelli deck. I think they found some meanings that were written way back when the deck was created around that time.
Mm-hmm.
And that is so incredibly different from what, you know, you see today. And so I think, and even from other decks of the time, you know, so it's kind of really fascinating that I don't think there was ever like one agreed upon list of meanings for each of the cards,
mm-hmm,
even from the start.
Well, and plus, you know, there's things that exist now that didn't exist 50 years ago. You know, there's things that didn't exist 10, 15 years ago, the iPhone, you know. So there's things that come into our lexicon and our everyday use that we have to adapt contemporary meanings for things. Like my favorite always to point out is the internet, of course.
Mm.
And different people will ascribe, you know, different meanings relating to the internet to different cards. Often the Eight of Wands has been adopted because people for a long time thought of the Eight of Wands as something happening quickly, quick movement. The wands are flying through the air. Even it was adopted for to air travel, you know, at one point. And now it's thought of as the internet or any communication, telecommunication, anything going through the air, you see. But then other people think that, okay, wait a minute, the internet is thoughts and ideas being transmitted and carried from place to place across the globe. So that's swords. So some people ascribe that more to, or I can't think of the right word. I keep saying ascribe, but it's more like, can't think of it, Mary. Attach it to. What am I looking for here? I'm trying to
associate,
find the right.
Associate with something.
Associate, yeah. So some people will associate it to, say, the Six of Swords, where the swords, and thoughts and ideas are being carried on a boat. And yes, it's a boat. But if you extrapolate into, travel across from country to country across the seas and then in the air, and then the next level is through the internet or telecommunications, you know, thoughts and ideas, how to travel via ship and then through the, you know, through the air, then through the telecommunications or the internet. Yeah. And so there's going to be all these contemporary meanings, contemporary keywords as well. I think if you're going to use keywords to learn, I don't see anything wrong with that, except for, you know, again, whose keywords are you going to use? I think research should be done on that. Like, in other words, what do you think the meaning of the card is by looking at the card and then look at other people's lists of keywords and always remember that they are just merely suggestions and you adopt what you want to adopt. And the other thing is more than one keyword, because each card can have so many different meanings. I think one of the problems is because there's so many cards, 78 cards or 256 with, am I doing that right? Wait, 156 is what I meant to say. Yeah. So 78 cards or 156 with reversals, because that's a lot, people will just give one keyword to each card and really limit each card with that. You see what I mean?
Mm. Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, it's like what was really helpful to me starting out was like reading, you know, some of, you know, what the big tarot authors, you know, from times past, mm-hmm. you know, had to say and how they were describing, you know, what the cards mean and stuff. And Paul Foster Case especially was so helpful to me because it was the idea of like, one, it's different, right? You know, so if you read reversals, you know, maybe you have like a, you know, a lot of times you see that reverse meanings for the card. But, you know, if you use elemental dignities or you're looking at how the cards work in a reading and the impact of the other cards around that card. So, you know, if you have, you know, say like the Chariot card, you know, you have the Chariot card by itself and one of those, you know, traditional meanings for the Chariot card that's kind of like ties in with what you're saying. You know, one of the traditional Chariot card meanings is like victory, you know, and like how often do we really, you know, use that word in today's world? We really don't say like, you know, victory is mine, mm. you know, unless you're watching like Family Guy or something. So it's like, it would be really
Game
awkward in a reading to tell somebody like, oh, victory. You know, because, you know, in our world, somebody's going to look at you like,
but they do.
What? Like,
but
what
they
do you
do.
Mean?
I know readers, that'll do that.
Do
they'll,
that.
They'll go, oh, victory. But the Chariot card can mean so many other things. Look, wheeled travel,
well, like,
you know,
exactly.
Cars, trains, automobiles.
Yeah, transportation is, like you were saying, all these things have changed in our world. Transportation's changed immensely. I mean, from, you know, what it was in the 14, 15, 16, even 1800s, you know, even early 1900s. But, you know, so, you know, one card by itself, maybe it's okay to, like, you know, have a keyword you associate with it. But once you start putting that in a reading, that's going to really change. It's affected by the cards around it. So how is the meaning of, you know, what Paul Foster Case suggested is like, come up with your own meanings, right? And if it's a keyword, if you're using just single words, that's fine. I use like more like phrases or full sentences, you know, but really study the cards. What does it mean when like it's positively affected? Say like the elements really work well together, you know? What does it mean in that case? What if the other cards around it sort of neutralize the meaning? Then what does that mean to you? And what if you feel like it's impacted negatively, like that some of the energy is taken away by the other elements that are surrounding that card? What would be your positive meaning, your neutral meaning, or even your negative meaning? You know, and if you have like those three ideas, I feel like ideas is a better way to look at it than keywords, because it's like you want to be thinking about it. You know, you don't want to just memorize lists of words, because that's not going to help you in the long run if you're doing readings. I mean, I don't think keywords are all that helpful to begin with. I think like what you said, look at the imagery of the card. What feeling do you get from it? What does that bring to mind for
right.
you?
And I think there's, you know, each card is more of a concept, and then there is
perfect.
This,
yeah.
God, I'm trying to think of the word for it here. I'm really blanking today. I'm having senior moments all over the place, folks. But there is a what's the word for it? There's a polar thing where a card is not a single But there's this huge, you know, from the one side, you know, like from the negative to the positive, I'm hesitating saying negative and positive. I don't want to say, you know, but there's a spectrum, I think is the word I'm looking
yeah.
for. This huge spectrum, this huge swath of meaning across,
yeah.
You know, it's not just black and white. It's not all positive or all negative. Okay. Any card, you know, there's a lot of gray area in between, and it's more of a concept than a specific meaning, because out of that concept, you can then extrapolate a lot of different meanings depending on the reading itself. I mean, you honestly, you don't have a meaning for any particular card until you have a question and you have a spread. You don't have a meaning.
Well, exactly.
The way I look at it, cards on their own do not have meanings. It's the client or the querent or, you know, whoever's asking the question, you know, the sitter, they're asking the question. You're drawing cards in relation to their question. And then the meaning of the cards is dependent on the other cards present and what the question was, not, you know, the tower card always means this one thing, you know, like disaster. Some people use the word disaster. That's all it can ever mean is disaster, you know. But it can mean a lot of other things. Somebody might be asking a specific question and the tower card is in a spread. And it merely means a shift in foundations, a shift in beliefs for that individual regarding the question, regarding what's going on in the scenario that the question is based on. You know, and so that's the way I look at it. And I think if I was going to argue against keywords, that would be the argument, you know, that ascribing keywords is reducing cards to specific meanings that it may or may not have. Cards don't have meaning until you have a reading going on. That's the way I look at it.
I agree too. I think you always start with the question. You know, somebody's asking a question of you, and usually, you know, people get readings because they really want to know something, right? You know, and so they're coming to you with a question. And if you don't take that question into consideration, it's like you're just pulling cards for the heck of it. You know, you're asking the question, the cards are responding to that question, and if you're sticking with keywords that have nothing to do, if you don't contextualize it in that moment of the reading and that person and their concern that they want a reading about, much of a reading. And I think that that's why you've got to really, you know, be flexible, you know, and really,
right.
you know, try to see, like, okay, this card comes up, she asked that question, she asked that question, what does the card have to say? How does it speak to that question? You know, and that's that broad spectrum you're talking about, because there's so many different things that could be indicating, but the question kind of gives you a way to sort of pinpoint the meaning. It's like, oh, okay.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
this is a response to that.
Yeah, along with if you're using positions like in a spread or something like that. But I got a couple more things that I was thinking. Real quick, I want to mention that, hey, guys, this is a great time to call in because we're going to be going to calls 714-816-4628. Remember to press 1 on your dial pad so we know you want to be live on air as soon as you call through 714-816-468. Screwing this up. Let me try that again. 714-816-4628. And remember to press the number 1 as soon as you get through. And if you're on Skype, remember to open the Skype app and go in and open the dial pad, press 1. That's how you do it on that. But a couple other things is the fact that unlike years ago, now we've got thousands upon thousands of decks with all different illustrations. And so that alters the meaning anyway. And so how can you have a set keywords for like the lover's card when there's all kinds of different versions of the lover's card, you know, unless you don't plan on not taking into consideration, which a lot of people do, it doesn't matter what the illustration is to them. You know, the lover's card is the lover's card. And the other thing is the changes through history, you know, not just contemporary meanings we were talking about earlier, but just the changing. You know, do you use keywords from way back when? And there's a reason why I keep coming back to the lover's card. It's because I got it as the card of the day. And, you know, nowadays, the lover's card, you know, we think love, we think relationships, meaningful relationships, romance, union, harmony, you know, all these kind of things. But originally it meant choice. It meant making a choice, making a decision. Yeah. And it did for, you know, centuries. And then, you know, Pamela Smith redecorated it there, you know, for the Rider-Waite-Smith version, which became the most widely spread, especially from the 60s on. And, you know, the lover's card is, well, that's romance. That's love. It's like, well, yeah, but it originally meant choices. And sometimes to this day in my readings, that's what I'm getting. I'm getting that it's about a choice that, you know, needs to be made or isn't being made or something else, you know, depending, like usually it's the Two of Swords shows up you know, because it's the two possible ways and the crossed ideas, and she's blindfolded. And so the Two of Swords is kind of what usually pops up for me when there's a decision that's delayed or not being made, or, you know, they don't want to make the decision, whereas the lover's card refers to other choices, you know. But that's another thing to look at as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And and I think that, you know, if you take that approach, it's like that's where like the real magic of a tarot reading happens, because it's like, oh, okay, you see how it applies again to the situation that the person, you know, sometimes, you know, a lot of times when I do readings, really, you know, so often, and I think it's true for other readers too, we can look at the cards, and if you do like a spread that where you're looking at the whole situation, like past, present, and future, it, you know, influences that kind of stuff with it, then you can tell somebody exactly what has, you know, you can describe the situation as it is, you can describe what happened before this and everything, and people are like, wow, why is that? And that's because you're looking at the cards and you're applying it to today and to that moment and that person and that question. And so I think we've got to really, again, you know, flexibility when we're looking at the cards and we're attaching meanings to them.
Yeah, you know, I think it's both. I think you can look, especially if you're brand new, you can look at the deck, you can get your impressions, write them down. That's what the beginning of a tarot journal is. Everybody should start a tarot journal and, you know, do a page for each card and write down your first impressions before you crack any books or look on the web and, you know, start discovering keywords, you know, and then that way you can figure it out. But another way to go at it is to, you know, take a course, like I have my Tarot by the Numbers course, where you learn elements and the numbers, the numerology. You learn these aspects first before you start looking at the cards themselves. And so you have some kind of context of why are the numbers and why are there the elements? You know, why are the different the different elements on the cards, for instance? You know, why is the suit of wands has all these wands? What does wands mean? You know, I think if you know what the wands mean, and you know what the cups and the swords and the pentacles mean, and the quintessential element, I always add the fifth element in spirit, because I consider the trump cards, the major arcana, to be the fifth suit, and to be that, you know. So if you study the five platonic solids from Metatron's cube, and Plato, and you know what the five Platonic solids mean. You know the associated elements and understand those elements, and then also understand numerology, understand the nine whole numbers, the master numbers. Then when you look at the deck itself, you have a context to go by for getting your first impression of what the individual cards mean, because you go, okay, this is the Two of Pentacles. Okay, so the earth element, earth means this, two means this, and then you look at the image on the card, and you can write down what your first thoughts are, and then go look at what people say about the Two of Pentacles, you know, and develop your own. For me, it's creating a language. It's, you know, you're inputting a language into your brain, this tarot language, and it's your language. It's what the cards mean to you, not what it means to the tarot reader down the street, you know. And so
exactly
you want to develop that. Yeah, and I think, you know, I started off with keywords, and I ended up okay. I'm okay. But the thing is,
you're okay. You know what
I do think, however, the finishing that sentence is that, but I think that it did slow me down. I think that it would have been faster. I think I would have gotten it better if I had just worked with the cards myself and let it naturally develop, you know. I don't know. For me, the jury's still out, but you go ahead. What were you going to say, hon?
Well, two things that I did that I think were the most helpful to me was, like, one, you know, you're absolutely right about journaling being, like, so helpful. And one thing that I did with my tarot journal in the beginning was, you know, I got a smaller version of the Rider-Waite, okay? You know, they have the smaller versions, the mini versions.
Yeah.
And
they have a tiny one.
And I took each, you know, card, and I had like a big notebook, and I taped one of those cards and, you know, every three pages or so. So I could like go back to it, look at the card in that journal, and then write down my notes and my thoughts and ideas that would spring up. And then, after that, you know, I mean, I'm, you know, I really dug into it. But the best thing that I did was later on, I took a bunch of index cards, you know, 78 index cards. And, you know, I color-coded my index cards. I don't know if people were like, you know, like me in this way, but I color-coded them. So it was like having like a little Rolodex of tarot meanings. And then I looked at like really, really decks that were like so very different from each other, you know, like, so like the Rider-Waite and like the Osho Zen deck or the Voyager deck,
Marseille.
Where, you know,
and Voyager.
Yeah, in Marseille, where people have gone like off in really different directions, you know, and some modern decks. And I just kind of wrote down a lot of like the meanings, you know, that those deck creators had associated and that I would get from looking at those different kinds of decks. And I put those on the index cards. And, you know, always in the concept of having that, you know, positively affected, neutralized, negatively impacted. And because I work more with the elements and I don't use reversals, so I do more elemental dignities than I do reversals. So it was like doing that, but it's like create even like your own system of that, because you're absolutely right. It's going to matter more what it means to you than what it means to anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
You're the one doing the reading. So why get a reading from you? The thing is like, you know, get your own thing that really resonates with you. You know, your own approach. You know, we're giving you some great ideas of how to like start out with this. And then once you're secure in what the cards mean to you, you're going to give great readings because you have that understanding.
Yeah.
And so the tarot's going to speak to you and your understanding of it is what I think.
Well, there's another factor that we know from psychology, that there's something magical about putting pen to paper or pencil to paper, actually writing things down. Our memory retains it so much more. And so you're going to be a lot farther ahead than the person that, you know, starts doing the readings for their friends and they have, you know, the book laying open there and they're like flipping through pages trying to look for keywords. You know, if you've already done a whole journal and worked on it for a month or two and then done the index cards and you have those as an emergency backup, you know, you're going to be way farther ahead because just the writing down of everything and the rereading and the mulling over and having it all together in one place and spread out through many pages in one book or, you know, spread out through many, many books, you know, kind of like that. Yeah. And I like the Paul Foster case idea that you said how, you know, you learned, you know, how he said that, you know, you should have the positive, the neutral, and the negative. And I think that's a really good idea, you know, to, you know, what would be positive keywords or meanings, you know, what would be neutral, what would be negative, you know.
Yeah.
And that makes you stretch your, you know, your thoughts on the concept.
It does. It really does, you know. And I think that that's a much more helpful approach than, you know. But, you know, what comes to mind, we're talking about these keywords, and I can't help but remember, you know, Janet Boyer, you know, who's been on the network forever, you know, mm-hmm. been with the Tarot Guild forever, you know, she's written a lot of,
too.
Right, you know, and she's written, you know, a lot of wonderful tarot books, but I do have her tarot reversals book, right? And mm-hmm. in that, it really fits with what you're talking about by modern contemporary meanings and stuff. She has just like, you know, I don't know, hundreds of keywords for reverse meanings for each card. And some of them, you know, they really are concepts that, like, you know, way back when nobody would have ever thought about, you know, because it applies to, like, you know, our lives today, because that's what, you know, we're doing readings in our time. We're not doing them from hundreds mm-hmm. of years ago. So it's so important like really stretch.
Speaking of Janet, I would suggest her more recent book, Naked Tarot, because it's like an encyclopedia of tarot where with modern associations, like for every card, there's an association to Disney somehow, Star Trek. I mean, you know, every possible concept, and then, you know, contemporary meanings, things like that. You know, I always wanted to do a contemporary meanings project that was, you know, we talked about this years ago, where it was crowdsourced. So, you know, everybody that's involved with the Tarot Guild, you know, we got, 5,000-something members on the Tarot Guild Facebook group. And, you know, if we could get a whole lot of people crowdsourcing contemporary meanings for all 78 cards, that would be just brilliant.
Oh, that'd be fun. Absolutely.
Yeah. We never got that project going, but I would love to do that still. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're at the bottom of the hour. Do you want to let us know some of the upcoming shows on the network? And then we're going to take some phone calls, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what we have coming up on the Psychic Talk Radio Network, our next show is going to be Monday, March 16th, 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern, the Wisdom of the Soul show with your host, Janice Fuchs. And that will be followed on Monday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the Compassionate Light Healing and Guidance show with your host, Catherine Hahn, Reclaiming Your Power. And then on the Friday show, The Doctors Are In, with host Dr. Rose Wilkerson and Dr. Dax Carlisle, and I'll be on, and we're going to be talking about the Irish Bay. So I'm excited about that. And then Dax, you and I will be back next Saturday, March 21st, with our special guest, James Rickliff. And we're going to be talking about tarot games because, come on, you
I'm
know,
really
so many
excited
people are
about
going to be.
That.
It's going to be fun because, look, we're all stuck at home or about to be, it seems like. So take out your deck and, you know, make it fun for the whole family, you know, and James is going to have some great ideas about that.
Yeah, and you could get on Skype or a Zoom conference call with everybody at their own individual houses, but still play a game together.
Absolutely.
Modern technology.
Yeah, we don't have to be confined right now. Social distancing doesn't mean alienation. Use your video conference call. You can, you know, video chat in so many different ways. Even on Facebook Messenger, you can video chat.
Right.
So stay connected, everybody, in the midst of this, and we're going to get it through it all together.
Yeah, create a group on Facebook, and then you can ring everybody up at once. It's great stuff. Great stuff that we can do nowadays. But I'm so excited about that because James was one of the very first, like, big name, you know, famous tarot author kind of guest that we had on Tarot Today Radio 10 years ago. And so it's so apropos to have him, you know, back on 10 years later. I know you interviewed him recently on your previous monthly show, and that was just a fantastic interview. You can find it on thetarotguild.com. Just click videos and you'll be able to check out that show, that interview with James. And but I personally haven't interviewed with James in eons. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
It'll be like a reunion.
Yeah, that's right. That's
fun.
Right. And then I know Sharona's having her next show that Sunday because she's every other Sunday.
Yeah.
What's she doing?
On Sunday, March 22nd, on the Magic Universe show, she's going to be talking, this is going to be so great, raising your vibrations with essential oils. That's awesome. I can't wait to listen to that one. I love essential oils. And you can find all of our upcoming shows by going to psychictalk.net/upcoming. And then I also wanted to mention real quick, like, don't forget to join our Facebook groups. We have the Psychic Talk Radio Facebook group. I post a card of the day in there every day. Today's card was from the Gateway Oracle deck by Denise Lynn with just gorgeous illustrations by Jesse Reich. And the message, I think, is so important and wonderful right now. And it's all about letting your light shine far and wide. That, you know, we all make a difference in this world. And sometimes that difference is just, you know, shining our light so that others can feel that warmth and that brightness.
You know, especially these days with the chaos going on and the coronavirus and all that kind of thing. And, oh, you know, we should also mention that we are going to do that psychic spin show the last Saturday of the month, which, what is that, the 28th? We're going to actually do the psychic spin show on the 28th on the coronavirus. And, you know, there's a lot of questions that can be asked about, you know, what's going on, how long is this going to last, you know, is our lives really going to be turned upside down? You know, is it going to get worse before it gets better, like they say? Because we can look at it with a psychic eye. That's what we call that. That's what that psychic spin segment is, you know, we can look at it with a psychic eye. We can pull cards. We can, you know, give our intuition on things. And but, you know, we'd like, you know, that's a few weeks away, gives a lot of time. And we can mention this again on next week's show. There's a lot of time for you guys to contact us in between shows. Shoot us an email, shoot us a message on Facebook, Mary or I, and, you know, let us know what you'd like us to ask the tarot about, you know, this situation with the virus.
Yeah.
We'd like to hear your opinions. You know, maybe you have better question ideas than we do.
You never know, right? You know, I mean, there's, you know, look, I think that we're all, it's something that, you know, seems to be affecting almost everybody in some way or another, even if it's just being like kind of worried about it. And so, you know, as much as we can address that, you know, I think it's helpful to look at it from all different angles. We've got the official angle. We're getting a lot of great advice finally from our government and our news media that really focused in on what we need to know. And so I think it's a great idea to, like, you know, let's pull some cards on it too and see what the tarot has to say about it.
And if you're on our phone lines today, you know, let us know how this situation is affecting you, and let us know if you have any questions that you'd like us to do on that psychic spin segment in addition to whatever you're calling in for today. And by the way, let's give that out, 714-816-4628. That's 714-816-4628. And remember to press 1 on your dial pad as soon as you get through. So we know you want to be live on air with us. Are you ready to go to the phone lines, Mary? See who's out there?
Let's do it.
All righty. Let's see here. So we have about 20 minutes left in the show here. Let's see how many calls we can squeeze in. First, we're going to L.A. It's going to be area code 310. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from exactly?
Yes, my name is Susan, and I'm actually in Oklahoma now. I just moved back
in Oklahoma,
being in Los Angeles area. Yeah.
You threw us off with that 310 area code. I remember being in West Hollywood, and it was 310.
Yes.
How you doing today, Susan?
I'm fine, just chilling in the house. So.
Yep, like the rest of us.
Yeah.
I have a hand sanitizer in like both bathrooms and in my car, you know, in the center console. And we were out last night, and I was at the VFW playing bingo of all things. And there's a story about that from yesterday's show that we'll do a little bit later. But when we went from place to place, as soon as we got into the car, you know, it was like, do the hand sanitizer. and we don't even have any cases to speak of in Tucson. There's a few up in Phoenix.
Yeah, I don't think there's very many here either, but the grocery store was crazy yesterday, so.
Oh God, it's insane. I mean, just I went out last night on the way home to get a few things, and I looked at the paper aisle. It was decimated. All the toilet paper was gone here in Tucson, and you know, it's the what's the word for it? The hysteria of it. You know, it's just absolutely insane. Yeah. So what are you calling in about today, Susan?
Well, I actually am not panicked. I'm just trying to live life normally. And so in doing that, I've been applying for some new jobs. I just want to see if you see any of those coming to fruition.
Okay. Do you have like one or two or three that you're particularly looking at that we could pull cards for each one? Or you just want us to pull a spread and see if you're going to get a job in general? Or how do you want us to do it?
Well, there's one that I've applied for here in Oklahoma and another one that I've applied for in Texas.
Okay. That makes it a lot easier because then I can pull a card for the Oklahoma one and a card for the Texas one. And then I can pull – Mary's in Texas, by the way. She's in Amarillo. And I can pull a couple of qualifier cards. And we'll see what it looks like here. Okay, so that's Oklahoma, and that's Texas. Okay, yeah, I don't want to get confused here. I was like, okay, wait, what was I pulling out again? Okay, so you want me to go first, Mary, or how are you doing?
Pull cards for each Texas and Oklahoma. So either way, go first.
Nice. Awesome. So, you know, I'm getting a feeling of, let's see, that would be the Texas one, more emotional fulfillment So we're not talking about the financial aspect of it, which is what, you know, people think of right away with jobs, but the emotional satisfaction that you get out of it.
No, I'm actually looking for the latter. Yeah. I want emotional stability, and being appreciated is like of utmost importance.
Right. And with the Oklahoma one, the cards I'm getting are talking more about it being, you know, it's not quite as settled. It's not quite as emotionally fulfilling. There's fantasy and illusion and possibly, potentially even confusion. Now, let me look at some of the other cards here, though. Now, with the Texas thing, though, you got the Four of Pentacles, and in the traditional Waite-Smith version, you know, he's like really holding on to the coin. I mean, I kind of have the feeling of constriction there. Like, at first, it might be financially more difficult for a little bit of time, but then comes in the Six of Pentacles, and then the money is then flowing at that point.
Okay.
So it starts out a little constricted, and then it flows. Okay. Now, when we look at the So when we look at the Oklahoma one, I'm not getting anything on the financial aspect of it, really. It's talking about, how to put it here, that there's a certain stability. Although I'm getting the Seven of Swords, which sometimes talks about there may be more to it than you think. Like there might be something going on in the background that you're unaware of. It's a card of manipulation and cunning and, you know, sneakiness going on behind your back kind of thing. Yeah. So, you know, as I look at the whole thing overall, I'm really more drawn to Texas, actually, to that job than I am to the other one. But let's see what Mary's getting. Maybe she's got some more insight here.
Well, I pulled some cards for each, you know, the Oklahoma job you applied for and for the Texas job you applied for. And really, yeah, I'm leaning more toward Texas, too. I'm not saying that because I live in Texas, but I'm just saying, you know, it looks better. Three Cups comes up on Texas. So I think that, you know, it's one where you're going to feel more connected. You know, even though you live in Oklahoma, for some reason, it feels like this job would be one where you would feel more connected. The Strength card comes up as well. So I think, you know, that looks really good. When I look at Oklahoma, it looks kind of iffy, and it looks like, you know, there's some conflicts to deal with the Five of Swords and the Knight of Wands. The only thing that I would say about the Texas thing is I do have the Four of Swords that comes up, so there might be some delays around that. You know, like that might be something that, like, it looks really good for you to get it, but maybe there's something that delays it from happening right away. You know, it could be like, you know, all this craziness going on, you know, that could have an impact on hiring and, you know, travel, that kind of stuff.
Right.
But otherwise, it looks really like that's the better prospect for you.
Awesome. Yeah, I actually had a reading. Oh, it's in Carrollton.
Oh, okay. I know where that is.
Yeah, I actually had a reading months ago, and someone said that I would be connected with a farm. And I'm like, that is the craziest thing I've ever heard of. But then I thought about it, and it's Carrollton Farmers Branch is what the name of the school district is. So it actually hit me yesterday. So I was like, okay, well, maybe that's what I really need to be focusing on and putting my energy into it. So thank you so much. It just really helps to validate that maybe that's the right place to put my focus. So
yeah. And I think that'll be great. We're always happy to welcome a new Texan.
Oh, I thank you. We'll see. I'm not crossing my fingers.
Okay,
thanks for calling.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys. I really appreciate you.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend, too. Wow. That was a good one. Good call to start off with, right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see who's been waiting the longest. It's weird. The studio is not showing the wait times like it normally does, although it is showing in what order that you guys called in, which is all we really need. But sometimes I like to see the wait times because, my God, sometimes people call like way before the show starts. Let's see here. Who's been waiting the longest? So it looks like caller 770 is next. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Atlanta, Georgia. How are you guys doing?
Good. Good. How are you
doing?
I can't complain. I heard you guys talking about the virus, and that's been like a big thing in Atlanta because I actually work for the police department for the school system. So we're on alert. with different things.
Wow.
Definitely, you know, have to listen in on that show to see what you guys have to add to that. But,
and what was your name? I didn't catch the name.
Tamika. I'm sorry. It's Tamika.
Tonika.
Yes, ma'am.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir. Yes. So my question was just really around my love life. I'm actually, you know, just trying to see what do you see coming up for that?
Okay. Was there any particular person you wanted us to focus on or just in general?
There's a guy that I've been dating off and on for about 4 years, and we actually just had a disagreement on yesterday. So not sure.
So now we have questions. Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, I think I think it's my turn to go first. Let's see what comes up on love life for you and this current relationship, you know, that we're kind of dealing with. It's interesting, you know, so the devil card comes up in the past position, you know, so to me, you know, just a light reading of the devil card is sort of like, you know, there's an obstacle. We had a disagreement. We had a, you know, something that we kind of were divided on. And then, you know, from there, it's really interesting because I got like almost all major cards around this. The Magician card, the Hierophant card, the Judgment card underpinning everything, and the Three of Swords above everything else. Okay, so I feel like what this is really pointing to is that you've got to kind of make a decision about this situation with him, you know, that you know, you said you've been off and on, and we have to kind of decide with the Three of Swords, we have to really kind of say like, okay, you know, this disagreement that we have, this off and on aspect of this relationship, you know, how far apart are we really? How close are we really? And what do I want to do about it going forward? Are we going to be able to, you know, really have a sense of commitment here or not, since we have the Hierophant card? And with the Magician card in the center, it's saying like, look, you're going to make the right choice. You've got all the tools you need to like, and you know what you need to know about this, but, you know, it's really going to come down to like kind of making a choice about this and getting with him, you know, being able to talk with him about what do we really want going forward, you know?
Okay.
So I think the big message I'm getting is it's like decision time in regards to that relationship, but maybe Jax can shed some more light on it for us.
Okay.
Well, I'm basically getting the same thing, though. In fact, I was laughing, giggling to myself when you were talking about, you know, the choice thing. And I'm looking right here at the central focus card in my spread is the Queen of Swords. And she's very analytical and she's making decisions. And interestingly enough, the Queen of Cups is left of her. And so they kind of have their backs towards each other. I mean, they do have their backs towards each other. And so it's talking about, because cups are emotions, it's talking about how you got to make the decision from a mind, mental place, because swords, Queen of Swords, Swords is thoughts and ideas, and the Queen of Swords is very analytical, okay? You know, so it's saying to turn your back to the emotional aspect of it, at least for now, you know, and to really take a step back and, you know, think outside the box, step out of the box, and, you know, just try to look at – I'm sorry, I can't hear. What's going on there?
I'm sorry. Oh, no, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, I heard this loud ringing, and then I thought you said something. I'm sorry, I missed it.
No.
And so, yeah, it's the same thing that Mary was saying, you know, that you got to look at it from a more analytical point of view. You know, can it be ultimately saved? It could, yes. The temperance card shows up. It's the marrying of opposites sometimes and blending together. Like she said, like Mary said about analyzing, you know, how far apart are you, you know, can the, because even opposites attract and
right.
it's possible to blend, you know, even if you're having issues, the temperance card suggests that can be, you know, worked on. However, then, you know, that's at the beginning of the spread. All the way at the end of the spread, Ten of Swords, which is, you know, ultimate hitting rock bottom, the end of a relationship, the divorce, it's the end. It's like, you know, so it could really go either way, really.
Okay.
You know. Also, the Four of Cups shows up, and that's, I think, just pointing to, you know, it's the Trouble in Paradise card. It's or Stuck in a Rut kind of thing. And it's sort of talking about, like, you know, you're not happy with the situation, but then there's this other opportunity you're not aware of that's being handed you, but you're not seeing it, you know. So I felt obligated to, like, kind of throw that in because it's showing
okay.
up in the in the spread there.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I hope that helped a little
Thank
bit
you.
Anyway.
Thank you. Let
All
me
right,
know any decision. So, yes, sir. Thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Awesome.
And thanks for what you do as a first responder in this time of crisis as well. We need you.
Absolutely.
We really all need you.
Yes. And so enjoy the rest of your weekend, Tanika, too. And as we said earlier, you know, whatever you're calling in about is great. But if you... if you also have something you want to say, maybe you have an idea for us, something we should be asking the tarot when we do our psychic spin episode on the coronavirus crises, you know, on the 28th of this month is when we're doing that. You know, let us know. We'll write those down and see if we can work with them. And or if there's anything else on your mind that you want to throw out there, it's open lines as well. So. You know, if you just want to talk about, I don't know, toilet paper.
Oh, but Dax, you have to tell us the story. You didn't, you know, you and Dr. Rose did that cool show on Friday yesterday about expecting luck on Friday the 13th. And then look what happened to you. You got to tell everybody because
right.
it's so cool.
Well, really go listen to that show because it's probably one of the best shows that Dr. Rose and I have ever done. And it's just a ton of great information about luck, studies on luck, what you can do, how you can draw in more luck. We thought it was really apropos because obviously, you know, St. Paddy's Day is coming up, luck of the Irish, you know, in 17th, I think, so Tuesday. And then... it was Friday the 13th, which people think of as unlucky, but actually in many cultures, the number 13, the 13th is actually positive, you know, is actually lucky. And so we, you know, my first instinct was expecting luck. You know, I think that's the real key. You draw in the luck when you expect the luck. And we read off like four points from a professor in the UK that's actually done a lot of research on luck. And the third point actually was what our title was. It is about expecting luck. They found that people that expect it draw it in more. You know, we also talked about, you know, remember Lucky Charms? We actually talked about charms too, because it turns out in the research, people that have lucky charms have a lucky or carry a talisman or carry a crystal, which, by the way, next Friday, we were going to hit you up on that. We were going to ask, you know, hey, what's the crystal for luck? Yeah. And,
oh, yeah.
what they found was that people that carry these things and have belief in it actually are more lucky.
Hmm.
Yeah. So we did this whole show on it. You got to listen to it if you missed it. Go into our archive at psychictalk.net. The Friday shows, actually all the shows are at psychictalk.net/Fridays. That easy. And go listen to that show after the show. You're gonna really love the information. We had a great time, Dr. Rose and I. But then afterwards, I went to the VFW with Doug and a bunch of our friends, and it was bingo night. It's also the fish fry. I had a wonderful shrimp cocktail, the biggest shrimp I've ever seen on the planet. And, you know, we used our hand sanitizer going in and out because there was a lot of people. So I won at bingo, you know, and I really contributed to the fact that I just had that stuck in my mind all day after that show, that I had it, you know, I was expecting luck on Friday the 13th. Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That is so cool. I always wanted to win at bingo, you know.
However, I did not have luck with toilet paper because I went to Walmart and the shelves were bare here in Tucson, Arizona. There was a run on everything yesterday. The hysteria is just unbelievable out there, you know. I did the calculations on I haven't been listening, you know, to be honest with you, because I don't want all that negativity going in my head. But the last numbers I heard was, you know, 1,600 cases in the United States. I did the math on that, and it's actually 0.0004% of the population of the United States.
The numbers have changed.
Yeah. And, you know, but the thing is, people were even giving numbers up as high as, well, we don't know how many are infected because we, you know, aren't having the testing. It could be as many as 10,000. Well, okay, 10,000 is 0.003% of the population of the United States. You got to put it in context, people, you know, and the hysteria is just crazy. I mean, the president says one thing mistakenly yesterday that he's, you know, shutting down imports from the entire world, which is not what happened or was going to happen, but Trump said it. And so there was a run everywhere, you know, on every store in the United States, you know, on things like that and food and toilet paper and everything. It's just insane. It's absolutely insane. More people have influenza right now and are dying from influenza right now in the winter here than have coronavirus, people. You know, you got to put things in context.
Look, I think the big thing is this, is that everything that, you know, they're telling us to do, the preventative measure, it's all about trying to prevent it. It would be fantastic if what ends up happening is more in line with how you see the numbers. You know, that would be great if it's just any loss of life is a tragedy, no matter what. But if we cannot have what happened in Italy happen here by everybody like deciding like, okay, you know what, I am going to take those precautions. Maybe I don't really think this is going to be so bad, but you know what, I don't want to endanger anybody else. We're all in this, you know, melting pot together. So why don't we just make sure we're not melting our germs on each other? You know, I think if we all just like, you know, I'll try, we can maybe stop this thing here. And then maybe, you know, all the predictions and numbers will be off. So I think I have confidence that we can do that, you know.
I think we can do it. You know, I just wanted to tell you what we're doing here in Tucson. You know, we're either not touching at all, or we're doing the elbow, you know, instead of shaking hands.
I love
I'm actually doing the Vulcan salute. I'm doing Spock's, you know, live long and prosper. That's what I'm doing. Yeah, Vulcans don't touch people. Vulcans don't touch.
Exactly.
I don't know how they have babies, but anyway. Yeah, and be a Vulcan, you know. Yeah, and I got my hand sanitizer, you know, I use it when I go in someplace, I use it when I come out of someplace, you know, and we just try to avoid touching things, and, you know, doorknobs are the worst thing, You know, if you're going in and out of the bathroom, grab some paper towels and open the door with the paper towels, not with your hand. You know, especially if you just wash them, you're like negating the whole thing if you touch the knob. Or even if it's one of those push panels, you want to push with the paper towels, not with your bare naked hand. You know, if you just do little things like that, you know, and not cough
Absolutely.
On each other and, you know, things like it's not that hard. It's the same thing we do every single year in the flu season, people. It's the same thing, you know.
Yeah.
And
but
we need to
take it seriously, you know.
Yeah, and I'm not saying not to. Don't misconstrue what I'm saying here. What I'm saying here is I'm a numbers guy. I'm a numerologist, okay? So the death rate from influenza is 1%. The death rate from coronavirus is higher. It's double. It's 2 or 3%. Yeah, that's horrible. But again, it's the difference between 1% and 2, 3%. That, what does that mean? That means everybody that actually gets coronavirus, 98 to 97% will all recover. They were talking about the up in Washington about the senior care facilities and there. And but there was an 89-year-old guy that, you know, completely recovered, no problem, you know.
I know, that was so cool to see that,
yeah.
You know, because
I was so glad.
You know,
yeah.
it didn't look good. But, you know, it's kind of a thing where this, you know, it's like that whole testing thing is the frustrating thing to me, I think, more than anything. Because we're never going to have real numbers unless people like him be tested.
I was freaking out.
You know, crazy.
Right. Yeah, I was freaking out about that yesterday. I was talking with people and I said, how is it that, like, in South Korea, they can test, you know, they've already tested millions and millions and millions of people, you know, and here, you know, the United States with the type of fantastic advanced medicine that we have, and, you know, we're the number one country for that, and we're the best.
Yeah.
We have the best testing facilities, and why is this so difficult? It doesn't make any sense to me. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Yeah. Anyway, but we'll be talking more about it. We're going to see how things develop through this month. I know that I'm not going to be going out as much over the next few weeks, and I'm going to stay home and, you know, just necessities and see what happens. And then by the 28th, you know, maybe we'll have a clearer picture of what our trajectory is, and we can pull some cards on this and talk more about it on our Psychic Spin segment.
Yeah, that'll be exciting.
So,
maybe we'll all be able to get tested by then, for goodness sakes. That's
who knows?
What I'm hoping. It's like, let's
who
just
knows?
Find out, okay?
So,
I
think we have time for a call or two as we go back to the phone lines here. You know, remember, if you have a great question for us to ask the tarot on the 28th, let us know so we can write it down. Otherwise, anything you want to talk about or questions you want to ask of the tarot yourself. I think the person that's been waiting the longest is area code 954. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mary. I'm calling from South Florida. And in my county, we've got about 19 cases and experiencing the shortages of everything as well. And there's a lot of chaos and confusion. Plus, we've got all the spring breakers down here who
it's
necessary to separate from one another. Anyway, my situation is kind of unique in a way because I've been dealing with a long-term illness that I'm still trying to get resolved. One of my appointments was canceled recently, and so it's holding up my getting better, too. And I have a partner that is living with me who has a very short fuse and tends to go off when, sometimes even in normal days, but in a time like this, has really been hard to deal with. And we've been together a couple of years, and financially and physically, we really have to depend on each other for just staying alive right now. We're seniors, so it makes it kind of hard. And he's got his own set of health problems. But today has been really a bad day for us, and he and I disagree about many political and social things as well. Mm. So it's not that we don't care about each other and, you know, trying to help each other, but it's just our personalities are complete opposites. And right now I can't make a move right now, and I've thought about it, but this has put everything on lockdown as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
I'm really trying my patience, and I know that there's nothing I can do at this point in time. And my main concern is that we both stay safe and don't get sick, of course, but it's really tough. So I'm just wondering, maybe you could do a little read and see if anything comes up regarding this.
Regarding your general situation overall,
yeah,
basically,
whether or not this is, you know, anything's going to straighten out or whatever. I don't know which way it's going to go at this point, because economically it's hard for both of us. He wouldn't probably have as much difficulty financially as I would. It's always easier for a man just to kind of put things in a suitcase and go, but I have a lot of belongings I'm trying to go through and trying to downsize and so forth. But at this point in time, I can't make any decisions physically. I'm not able to either, nor am I able to get out and get the help I need because of this lockdown. So
So what advice for, like, you know, how do we deal with it all?
Yeah, really.
Right?
I mean, we both have spiritual background, even though it's different. And, you know, there are good times, but I think that I brought it to the attention of his doctor, which is also mine, that he may be going into some kind of a mental situation, but I don't see anyone following up on it or the need for it. Nor do his daughter. You know, I'm not getting any backing support. I don't have anyone supporting me physically or otherwise, financially, nothing. So I'm trying to handle this as logically as I can. But
Mary Brown.
Yes.
I think that I'm up first. You know, so we're just gonna see what advice is coming through from the cards. You know, there's not a lot that can be done, but it might have some ideas on what to do. And you know, you've already explained the situation, and you know, not just you, but a lot of people are stuck right now.
Yeah.
And you know, there's nothing.
When you can't feel good in your home, it makes it even harder. You know?
Right. And,
sure.
And there's nothing you can do about as far as, you know, the moving potential and all that kind of stuff. So what you got to do is look at what you can do where you are, from where you are, what situation you're in now. And the cards come up with the Four of Swords, which is, you know, talking about this delay. It's a delay, you know, this the card's often about, you know, taking a step back, healing, letting go, recharging, a retreat, a temporary exile. It's like you're exiled, but in reverse. You're exiled to your home, you know, kind of thing. I don't know how to describe that.
I can't even go out, shop, and do things normally that I would get to just
And so it's telling, you know, what the situation is. And then, okay, so what do we do about that? We got the Page of Wands showing up and the Ace of Cups. Page of Wands is, in this case, is talking about reflection. It's talking about research. It's talking about study and learning. That's what's going on in the card. And it's especially hinting that although – and Mary and I talked about this earlier. Remember, Mary, when we talked about playing the tarot game and how you can do that over Facebook or Skype or Zoom or, you know, all these different platforms where you don't have to actually leave your house to do this. You can actually stay in your house and be with a bunch of people. You don't have to be isolated. And so what this is talking about is how even though you're stuck where you are, you still have the ability to reach out and get information. And then it's the Ace of Cups after that. And in this case, the Ace of Cups is talking about cups is emotions. It's the water element. It's talking about emotional stability. So that's what you need now. So what the tarot is saying is that if you need to work on emotional stability because you can't work on anything else. You know, the
right.
Four of Swords is it's indicating the situation. You can't move. You can't, you know, do these things. You can't extricate yourself from the situation, but you're not trapped to the point where you cannot do anything. There are things you can do. And the tarot is giving the hint here that it's all about you should be in this time, while you can't do anything, and while a lot of us are trapped where we are in our homes, you know, and there's a lot of places, you know, people can't go and things that people can't do, you know, you can take the time to work on your own emotional stability, and that, you know, will help keep you sane through all of this, all right? And what the Page of Wands was talking about was the way you do that is you learn. It's a card of research and learning new things. So you need to reach out, and that could be going on YouTube, for instance, and doing some searches.
Yeah, I spend a lot of time on the internet
and
social.
Right, and what you're
that.
So what you're yeah, but what but it's not. I'm not talking in general here. This is very specific. What you're going to be looking for is you're going to be looking for ways to cope. You're going to be looking for techniques that allow you to let go of the, remember how I said that another aspect of the Four of Swords is release and letting go and healing, okay? So you're going to want to look into things like energy tapping, EFT, emotional freedom techniques.
I do that. Yeah, that's one of the things I do. Yeah.
Yeah. You need to be doing these things and clearing this all out. And if you're not able to clear it out, if it's not happening for you, you need to talk to an expert. You need to get help with this. And you don't have to leave your home to do this. You can do it over your computer, communicate in various ways, you know, with an EFT practitioner or an NLP practitioner or something along those lines that's going to help you clear these emotions out. That's what the tarot cards are talking about and showing you that, you know, you're not powerless. There are things you can do even from your own home. But let's go to Mary and see if Mary has any sage advice also coming through. Anything from you, Mary?
Yeah, you know, there's a few things that come up that are really, you know, kind of really in line with what Dax was saying. Now, I got the Four of Cups here. And what's really kind of interesting is sort of underpinning all the other, what the other cards are saying. And it's talking about that sense of, you know, distraction, you know, needing distractions, finding distractions. But also with the Four Cups, there's like, to me, it's carrying this message of indifference. So within your home environment, you know, what I'm seeing here is that you seem to be more emotionally stable than your partner is. Okay.
Yeah,
and that's okay.
So.
Right.
At times,
and,
I may not be because of what's going on, but I think overall, I'm more logically based, where he is more impulse based. And
right.
He
and
just,
so there's,
you know,
what I'm, yeah, and what I'm seeing with you is like more stability there. So as much as you can kind of shut out the noise that doesn't fit with like what you logically know, you know, that may be coming from him, and kind of switch it to like what's distraction. I got the Sun card in the middle of all of this. That's just like, you know, a powerhouse of healing ability and strength that's within you. Okay. And we heal in all kinds of different ways. And I think exactly what Dax was talking about is, you know, practicing the things that you are already into, like EFT and those kind of things. You know, we have to remember to, like, you know, practice what we preach a lot of times, right? And use our techniques And I think that that's going to help you deal with this. The Wheel of Fortune is coming up. You know, this isn't a permanent situation. Things are going to change. I have the Eight of Pentacles in the future position, which is a great sign. You know, that's a wonderful card of abundance and stuff. So in the meantime, use your techniques, distract from any of the negative, and, you know, really, you know, tap into the energy and the strength that you have within you. There's ups and downs. We have the Two of Pentacles in the past position. What's interesting to me about that is that I feel that, like, all the fluctuations that you've been telling us about, all those different aspects of, you know, all the things going on in your life and things being delayed and things you can't get to and problems that you have and stuff, I think that we got to switch it off and on. Our focus on that needs to switch off and on. Because right now, the things we can't do anything about, we've got to kind of say, okay, you know, these will be addressed as soon as they can be. In the meantime, I've got to make sure that, you know, I'm keeping myself in the best place that I can stay in and helping my partner in a way that I'm not feeding the beast. You know, that beast within, that beast of fear, that beast of paranoia and you know, being upset and all of that, as much as I can, you know, detach from that. You know, I think that's what the Four of Cups is saying. So I hope that's helpful to you.
You know, minute by minute, more assurance than I'm physically able to give. And when he does get that, he's, you know, narcissist kind of personality too. And when he doesn't get that, he'll create drama. And that's part of it all. I know that. And so I try to switch and go in another direction.
Right.
Good.
And so when he brings the drama, you need to tap that away. You need to get in touch with your feelings and tap that away. Right then and there.
I don't want to, you know, I want to continue on that negative path. I mean,
it's not helping. This is what's
happening. What can we do about it? What can we do to change, you know, our tune here a little bit and lighten up or whatever? If we can't do this, can we do something else? But when you're stuck in the same place with a person, it makes it even harder to detach.
It's very hard. And thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you for having the show. And I will check out your previous show. And I know that'll be interesting as well. Thank you very much.
Thanks for calling.
Draw some luck into your life there and enjoy the rest of your weekend. Sounds like she could use, you know, some of that. And it's all mindset.
Yeah.
All this stuff is mindset. It absolutely is. So let's see. There's no show tomorrow because Sharona's next show that she's doing with the essential oils is the 22nd.
Next Sunday.
That one.
22nd. Yes.
I'm trying to look at the dates here, make sure I don't get this wrong. So it's the 22nd. Yeah, I was right. Okay, and so there's no show tomorrow, but there's shows on Monday. I know that Catherine is taking calls on her show, Compassionate Light. So if we don't get your call today, you can call in tomorrow. It's the same bat time, same bat number. On Monday. And then of course we'll be back together on Friday because Rose and I are having you on as our guest. So I'm looking forward to that.
Me too. I think that's going to be a fun one, talking about the Irish Shay or Fay, either way you want to describe them. I'm excited to talk about that. Maybe the fairies will be kind to us and give us some insight.
Yeah, and there's this whole thing that I was totally unaware about, what you said about how, you know, with the Irish and how there's like, you know, people think of, you know, some of the people are like in Ireland, like descended from the Fae and different things like that. And, you know, we're not going to say anything today, but we're actually going to ask that question on Friday. Is Mary Brown descendant from the Fae? We want to know. Inquiring minds. Anyway, so we're going to take the last phone call here, area code 720. I don't think I've ever had that area code. Caller, what's your name? Where are you calling in from? 720.
Oh, I'm so excited. Hi, this is Randy from Colorado.
Colorado.
Okay. And you said Randy, right?
So, yeah. So I'm debating between two questions. I just went on an interview to it's a business that's hiring for contract work. And I really want this one, so I'm hoping that I get that. And also my husband just his company just like changed his position. I'm concerned about him too. So
Oh wow.
Either one of those.
Well,
things.
What's the most burning one? I got the feeling it was the one related to you versus hubby there, but okay. Well, what do you think
yeah.
is the most burning question,
I'll
Randy?
One. Either one.
Okay.
As long as they're
Mary, you're
money.
First.
Yes. Okay. Well, let's take a look at this. The contract work that you're hoping to get there and see what comes up here. All right. So looking at that. Well, okay, so look, a couple things coming up here. The first thing I have to say, it looks pretty good here. We have the Ten of Pentacles, the Empress card. You know, it's kind of interesting because I also feel like there's another message with that. You know, I'm looking at the contract work for you, but having the Empress and the Emperor card, I kind of feel like it's saying, like, with the Ten of Pentacles, but between them, I feel like you just need to know you and your husband are going to be okay. Financially, I think you're going to be all right. Okay.
That's really good.
And then looking specifically at the contract work you're looking at, it actually looks pretty good for being able to get that. But I'll tell you, just like one of our previous callers, I'm getting the Four of Swords on this. So I feel like there's a pause, there's a delay. Maybe this doesn't come into fruition immediately. Four of Swords isn't indicating a very long pause. I would say, you know, that might be like a month delay at the most. Could be even shorter than that. The other thing about this is directly connected to the money of it. And I feel like, you know, Seven of Swords is saying, like, make sure you go over all the paperwork, you know, involved in this, any contracts you sign or whatever, make sure that, you know exactly what's involved and that you're getting exactly what you expect to be getting. But otherwise, this looks really good. And let's see what that has to say.
Awesome. Yeah, I totally agree. Oh, yeah. Yeah, I have to come off mute. It takes a couple seconds for it to actually work. Geez. You know, I get the Ten of Cups as the very first card, so I just want to say right off the bat that you guys are going to be fine. Now, I don't know whether it's going to be with this particular, you know, contract work or not. We're going to look at that in a second. But that's the important thing to know, I think. Now, I feel like a message is going to come about this very quickly. I'm getting the Knight of Cups, and a lot of times the Knight of Cups is bringing a message. And then the timing card is a three card. And so I'm saying, you know, it could be in the next 3 days, you know, maybe 3 weeks, but I feel more like 3 days, that something about this comes through. Now, here's the interesting thing. So the Ten of Cups is very positive. Also, the Eight of Cups I got, which is very positive. Eight is the number of abundance in numerology. And in the traditional Waite-Smith version of the card, the individual is moving onward and upward to better things and has left some emotional baggage away. I was going to say that about the Knight of Cups, too, that I feel that, you know, whatever happens here, it's going to be emotionally stabilizing for you, that you're going to feel better about things and the situation. But when I looked at it as a yes-no about getting this particular contract work, it didn't give me a strong yes or a strong no. I got one of those muddled answers where it was like, well, maybe, you know. It's almost like there's something left to be done, but the Eight of Cups to me suggests – oh, and I should mention that the timing card three is the Three of Swords, and that's traditionally not a card people are happy to get. It's a card of sorrow, pain, transformation through pain or sorrow, grieving, cathartic grieving, love triangle sometimes.
But I think that that popped up to say that, if you do get the contract work, it's not going to be, easy at first getting things going. And it also may be an ultimate indicator that maybe that particular job or that particular set of contracts whatever it is, it may fall through. But the Eight of Cups is indicating you will be moving onward and upward to better things, okay? So I think you're going to hear something about this really quickly. That's the takeaway. And that even if, you may end up getting this contract work, but if you don't worry about it, because the cards do say that Ten of Cups, you guys are going to be fine. And Eight of Cups, you're going to be moving onward and upward to something better. There may be something better out there anyway for you. So that's what I'm getting.
Okay.
I hope that helps.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, thank
I know
you.
It's a little muddled answer there, but, I did my best.
I appreciate it. So as long as everything's okay, that's the most important thing. Yeah. So.
Absolutely.
Right.
And we both got messages right off the bat that, that you needed to know that you guys were going to be okay. So I think that, I think that's really good. Thanks so much for calling.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Randy.
You too.
Colorado. Bye. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. And, I don't often get indications like that, very strong about, they're going to be okay regardless. And also about the message, I was a little bit excited that, that came through, because a lot of times it doesn't happen for me that I get information like that there will
me
be
either.
A message coming about this quickly.
Yeah.
So I think she's, she's going to know something really quickly on this. And regardless of what happens, I just see her moving onward and upward. I think it's going to be good.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Me too.
All righty. So we're at the end of the show. Had a great time. It was a lot of fun.
Me too.
Yeah. Yeah, great calls and just everything. And that, conversation about the tarot card keywords, I hope that helps a lot of people that are new, just starting out. They haven't even set up a tarot journal yet. They're getting ready to start studying tarot, and they're like, how do I go about it? I think we gave them some great ideas.
Yeah. Me too.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody, and of course I'll be back on Friday with Dr. Rose and Mary here. One of the few times I can actually say that. And Mary and I will be back next Saturday too, as well. If you want to call in on Saturday, because we love our Saturdays, and we got fabulous special guests for the 20th there. You're the special guest for the 20th. I didn't go far enough. I'm looking at my list here. I met James Rickliff. You're fabulous too. Yeah. But we got James Rickliff coming on. I'm really excited about that. Haven't talked to James in forever. And tarot games, it's going to be something fun and something, perfect timing for the situation we're all in. Yeah. So thanks to all of our listeners and all of our callers. Yeah.
Yeah.
So we don't have a show. We don't have a show without you.
And thank you, Dax, for being such a wonderful co-host.
And thanks for being here, Mary, as always. Gonna say goodbye to everybody. Goodbye, Mary. Good night, John Boy.
Bye, Dax. Good night, Mary Ellen. Goodbye, everybody. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Bye, everybody.
Yes.